Welcome to Amplify, the personal brand business show. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Nikki Hutchison.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Personal Brand Business Show. My name is Bob Gentle, and every week I speak with incredible people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing their expertise, intentionally growing a unique personal brand and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, then while you still have your device in your hand, take a second to subscribe. That way you won't miss a single thing. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, it's the super discreet plus icon up in the top right-hand corner. So this week, I am really excited to welcome Nikki Hutchison to the show. Nikki was one half of the wonderful Adventures in Marketing conference. But Nikki's world is bigger than Adventures in Marketing, although I'm sure it's full of adventures. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
So for the listener who's meeting you for the first time, could you maybe just start by telling us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and the kind of work you do?
Absolutely. So I'm Nikki. I'm based in Edinburgh, which you may be able to guess once you hear me talking. And I am a marketing strategist. I spent most of my career working in ad agencies as a brand strategist before becoming an entrepreneur in 2012. And I love to support service-based business owners to go from overlooked to fully booked.
I love that. The way that you described that, I saw that on your website. And for me, that is one of the real frustrations, that you meet some diamond businesses, but nobody can ever find them.
Yes.
I
find this hugely frustrating as well.
So I'm curious to know from your perspective, maybe let's start with the meat and potatoes. So from your perspective as a marketing and a brand strategist, what is marketing? And in the average small service-based business, whose responsibility should that be?
Oh, I love this question, Bob. Thank you for asking this question, because the answer that I always give when somebody asks me, what is marketing? Marketing is everything. Now, I know that I am completely biased because this is my background. I always dreamed of working in the ad industry, and I have done for most of my career. However, I firmly believe that every single small business owner also needs to develop the skills to become a marketer, whether you are then going to go on and outsource your marketing to an agency, or whether you're going to have a team, or whether you're going to take care of it all yourself. It is our responsibility as small business owners to learn how to market ourselves, because otherwise we end up in that scenario that you just described, where we are running a brilliant business, and yet we don't have enough bookings, clients, sales coming through. So in answer to your first question, marketing is everything from the way that you behave. When you're a personal brand going out and representing your business or your own company, it's the interactions that you have. It's the way that you sign off your email, right through to all of the strategic and tactical activities that you're doing, which are more commonly referred to as marketing, such as SEO, email marketing, social media, and so on.
So the business owner, I think you might recognize this scenario. I'm going to tell you a real story. And this real story is kind of part of the reason why I don't do what you do. So I was hired once back in the day when I was a traditional marketing person by what I will only describe as a very blokish company. And this company was built on the charisma of a really likable man about town, we'll call him. He was moving towards retirement. And the conversation he had with me was, I carry all the marketing in this business. It's all my relationships that drive this business. And it's not really sustainable as I look towards exit, maybe in the next 10 years. And I need the rest of the team to step up on the one hand, but I can't really see that happening. So I'd like you to come and do the marketing, please, and fix this. And it just didn't work because they didn't want to spend money, but he wasn't willing to hold the rest of his team accountable. And you couldn't have both. You either need to pay somebody to do all of this for you, or it needs to become part of the natural culture in the business. Or a lot of the time, perhaps a blend of the two.
Mm-hmm.
In your perspective, obviously you can hire a marketing agency to do all the marketing for you, but that's not right for most small service-based businesses because it's too expensive and it's unsustainable. So how do you help people build the culture of marketing in a business so that it just becomes part of what they do every day?
I feel like I'm going to find this quite difficult to describe, but let me try because it really does come naturally to me. And I'd like to point out here that the first business that I built when I left agencies was unrelated to marketing. I started a kids' hip hop dance company. I wanted to discover what it was like to grow a business before I taught and supported other people how to grow theirs. So I had that as my training ground, and I grew a team, and everybody was responsible for selling and marketing that business. But I drove the strategic direction. So let me think back to how I did that, because equally today, we have a marketing agency where we can come and plug in as part of your marketing team. Or equally, I have courses and communities where I can teach you and or your team how to do the marketing yourselves. But in that first business, what played a key role was targets, not very harsh targets. I'm more of a carrot than a stick person. So it wasn't a case of you must bring in X number of customers or your job is at risk. It was more a case of if you manage to bring in X number of customers, let's do a good, better, best scenario. And let's think about what your reward is going to be at that point. And I think because, like I said at the beginning, because I intrinsically believe that everything in business has to do with marketing, that's the ethos that I instilled throughout that whole team. So we had me running the business, we had a sales manager, we had an operations manager, and we had people out on the ground, so to speak, teaching dance classes. Every single one of those people was incentivized to make sure that our customers, A, had a brilliant experience, and B, remained our customers, probably or ideally were upsold into other offers. So as well as coming to their weekly dance class, we would hope that they would buy the uniform and encourage them to take part in the Christmas show or the summer show and come along and join our summer camps. So every single person, if their job title was dance teacher, they were also encouraged and incentivized to be a marketer as well. Does that answer your question?
It does. And I think there's probably another aspect to this where if you had just incentivized them, it might not have worked as effectively as if you had incentivized them and also showed them how to do it, walking the walk, not just yes. talking the talk. And I think this is one of the things that stands out with you as a marketer in Scotland in particular, in that I don't know the names of very many people who do what you do in Scotland, and you're very visible. And I think that visibility is a strong leadership characteristic, and it's not just about telling people what to do, but it's saying, and here's how you do it. And they can see it in the wild.
I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And I'm glad that it comes across that way, because I never, and I really try my hardest not to be a marketing company who uses the excuse of, oh yeah, we're too busy to market ourselves. Yeah. We're so busy working on our clients. Of course that happens. And of course we are guilty of that sometimes. But as a general rule, it's just as important for you or me as the owner of our business to market ourselves as it is to do great work for our clients.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I've seen you speak about is what's called going detective mode. And before you jump in, and I'm going to ask you to tell us all about what that is. A brand, in order for it to be communicated, so marketing in general is all about sending signals out into the world. And every signal has a certain power to it. So the signal strength, the frequency, how often do you encounter it? And the clarity of that signal, how clear and clearly defined is it in order for it to hit the mark? And I think the more clearly you define who it's for and why it matters, the less power you need for that to actually function. And for me, this is why I hate the idea or the word. I'll tell you a story. So I used to get a lot of clients who would come to me through Scottish Enterprise. And they would come to me after they'd hired an agency to do market research. And what I would always find is they spent all the money on market research. There was nothing left for actually doing stuff. It frustrated the pants off me. And what I like about what you speak about in terms of detective mode is it's a very guerrilla, grassroots, efficient approach. So can you maybe tell us a little bit about what that actually is?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I worked in ad agencies, I was a strategic planner or a brand strategist. So half of my time, literally 50% of my time, was spent out on the road conducting market research for big brands, organizations, a lot for the government. The government are normally one of the biggest clients for large agencies up here in Scotland. So I was out discovering lots of information for them. And these clients were paying through the nose for all of us to be out on the road gathering this information. And, you know, these are rightly so, you know, these are really useful insight gathering exercises that are going to direct the marketing going forward. Obviously, moving into the world of small businesses, we don't have budgets like that. You know, we're talking tens, hundreds of thousands for these research projects. But that doesn't need to stop us from being absolutely driven to discover what's important to our customers and how we can reach them effectively. So I like the way you've described it as this kind of guerrilla approach. And really, that's how people can approach it. You can do this stuff yourself. You know, market research is not rocket science. Essentially, what you're doing, and there are books that you can read and information that you can source to make you a better researcher, but essentially the people that you're speaking to, they've got all the answers. So you don't have to come up with the answers. You just have to come up with the best way of discovering the most useful information that's going to power your business. So for example, and I still offer this as a service for clients today, we worked with an HR company recently who wanted to discover why more of their clients were buying into one particular package than the other things that they had on offer. And you can do this through primary research, what's called qualitative research, where you're speaking to a small number of people, but getting real quality depth of answers from them. And you can do it on the phone, you can do it on Zoom, but you can also use secondary research. So you can look at what other people have already discovered. So you can look at reports. And again, government are good for as a resource for producing reports, depending what you're looking into. There are lots and lots of different resources. Mintel is another one that I had the luxury of having full access to their full library of industry reports when I worked in agencies. Of course, I don't have that now, and neither will the people listening, most likely, but they still do what's called executive summaries. So you can look on Mintel and you can look at the reports that relate to your industry and find out what people are doing in your industry and what people are thinking. And it doesn't cost you any money, it just costs you time. So you have the resources at your fingertips. For me, it's about an attitude. And that attitude is one of curiosity. So when you think about a detective, they will not stop until they find the information that they're looking for. And that's the mode that I encourage people to take when it comes to searching for the insights that are really going to make a difference to your marketing and your business going forward.
I actually used to be on a board with a chief inspector. And he's a good friend of mine. And honestly, you should watch this guy. When he wants the answer to a question, if he doesn't get it, oh my goodness. So what I like about what you describe there is once you have all the right information, you can ask the right questions and you can respond to the world with content, the signals that I described that are going to be the most effective. And it's like the difference between a ninja and a boxer. a boxer will just flail away until he gets a knockout, whereas a ninja can do it with one finger. And for a business owner, this is really important because we don't have a lot of time or money. We need to be effective. And information about your ideal customer and what matters to them is what's going to make you effective. And that's why the talk around detective mode for me was really important. One of the things that we spoke about before hitting record was the idea of small businesses getting fully booked as a mission, as a personal mission. And I really love that. What does that take in your perspective? What are the ingredients that will support a strategy that will allow a business to thrive?
So, I mean, a lot of it we've covered already, but I have developed a framework. So first of all, this idea of becoming fully booked is not a new phrase, but that actually came from me going detective mode in my own business. So often you'll have the information that you need in your business if you just spend time investigating it. I wanted to come up with a new group program a few years ago, and I decided to review client testimonials from the one-to-one work that I had been doing. And what came through was this idea that people did not, before they worked with me, they didn't feel visible. They didn't feel that they were able to do all the things that we've discussed to get their name out there, to get their business and brand out there. But once they'd finished the work, they were fully booked. So I thought, oh, there's a really nice concept in there. And that's where this strap line from overlooked to fully booked came from. And in fact, the name of my program, which I'll be running again later this year, is called Fully Booked Bootcamp. And inside that program is the Bright framework. And this, I think, any entrepreneur can take and follow the steps to become visible and become fully booked. So Bright stands for, and I'll go through each one individually.
My pen is ready.
Brand, relevance, innovation, growth goals. I've got a sneaky double G in there. How and tell. So brand, hopefully we all know that is about being consistent online, knowing what your values are, knowing what you stand for, knowing the value that you deliver to your clients and so on. Then relevance is about how to make sure that you are offering things and communicating things in a way that is relevant to your ideal client. So for me, it's a step beyond simply identifying your ideal client. It's also thinking about the messaging that you're going to use to reach them. I is for innovation, and that's about making sure that you are selling things that are very exciting. You're not just doing the same as everybody else, but you are selling things that are appealing and exciting, both to you because you want to enjoy your business and to the clients that you're looking to attract. Growth goals, fairly self-explanatory. We've talked already about incentivizing teams. You need to incentivize yourself and make sure that you are motivated to hit these goals that you're setting. How is about the strategy. How are you going to attract these clients? And tell, for me, is about telling everybody, getting the word out there, using different marketing methods to make sure that everybody who you want to hear about you does hear about you, because we don't want to try, we're not going mass market here. We don't want to appeal to everybody, but everybody within the niche of people who we want to work with or the type of people that we want to work with. So for me, it's about getting really clear and strategic and taking these steps one by one. And it is a process, and you might have one or two of the steps nailed already, but you might need to go back and revisit some of the other ones. But if you can follow that process, and it's an ongoing journey, but all you need to do is work on it for where you're at in your business today. And then you may want to repeat it in a year's time. But if you can follow those steps, you are pretty much guaranteed to go from being overlooked to much, much closer to being fully booked.
I'm just imagining businesses into each of these steps. And yeah, the net effect of this should be the required conditions for success. It's a very elegant framework. I really like it. I think I had a guy called Mike Vardy, the productivityist on the show probably a couple of years ago now. And he coined the phrase, frameworks foster freedom. And what they allow us to do is follow a process without really having to think too much, knowing that the creativity has been put together in advance and all we have to do is now follow the process. And your framework really outlines and illustrates and facilitates that really nicely.
Thank you. I completely agree that a framework definitely makes life a lot easier because you're no longer floundering around and wondering where to start or what to do next. I think what I would like to distinguish is between that and what I keep seeing online at the moment, people talking about, I don't offer a cookie cutter approach. So a framework is not a cookie cutter approach. You're very much plugging in your own thinking and your own information and your own business stats and ideas. But as you say, if you can follow this tried and tested framework, then it will result in success.
I think of a framework not as a cookie cutter, but as an artist's palette.
Like that.
It because there are simply some constraints within which you need to be creative. It's not like, okay, let's just throw mud at the wall. But we know if we use these minerals and we use these walls, we typically get amazing results.
Yes.
It's very different. So a question I want to ask you is, in most businesses, this is really focused on your business now. Opportunity comes to us through four main doors. It can come through outbound sales. Can come through content and content marketing. It can come through our network, our relationships in different forms, or it can come through ads. Those are typically the only four doors. Mm-hmm. And I'm always interested to hear from people what works for them. And there is a danger that you might tell me content. And it might be that content's what drives a lot of it. But I'm willing to put money on, and I don't want to preempt things here, but it's important for me to maybe set the stage a little bit, that my assumption is that your content has a very powerful effect on your network. So, and on that basis, I'm going to invite you to answer the question. So outbound content, network, or ads?
So first of all, I am a very strong believer in the power of organic marketing. So whilst we have used ads and we will continue to use ads in the future, my belief is that you should not use ads and you don't need to use ads until you are quite far on in business. So, for example, I grew both of my businesses to over six figures before using any ads because it just makes me sad to hear so many horror stories of small business owners spending a lot of money on ads and not getting the results that they want. And it usually comes down to the fact that they haven't actually tested enough content out organically before putting money behind it. So let's rule ads off the table for now.
Yeah.
And in terms of the other three, I'm working hard to get better at outbound sales because we do rely heavily and we do invest heavily in creating content and in networking. And I love doing both of those things. I didn't always love networking, but I really do now. And content, I love to challenge myself and my team to always do better and be creating better content and monitoring the results that we're getting. So those are the two that we focus on. In my first business, we also probably focused more on outbound sales, definitely focused more on outbound sales than networking with that business. I didn't really like selling. I didn't really have much experience in selling when I started that business. But I knew that we wanted to get into basically a B2B audience. So we were selling our classes and camps and so on to direct to customers. And I realized that there was a growth opportunity within private nurseries and within schools. And so it very much became a numbers game at that point. With the schools, not so much. Once I got in with one, they would recommend us to others. And we grew very quickly. With the private nurseries, there were already lots of other providers in there, maybe not delivering dance classes, maybe delivering music or drama or what have you. But those were our competition. And I had to become quite a persuasive salesperson to get taster sessions of our classes booked in with those nurseries. And then off the back of the taster, they would convert pretty much about 80%. But I had to force myself. Every Tuesday was sales day. And I started that business from my kitchen table. And I still remember sitting at that kitchen table, procrastinating until you can't really get through to nurseries after 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they're busy with kids being picked up or they're out in the garden or whatever. So I would procrastinate until about lunchtime doing anything that I could except for sell. And then I would cram in as many phone calls as I could. And we had direct mail pieces going out to them that I would follow up on and things. So those three in combination are a very powerful force. And then you can add in ads as the cherry on the top further down the line.
I really like the way that you told that. The narrative there is actually really important. I absolutely agree with the ads perspective. People often ask me, especially early stage people in the what you would call the expert space, like, oh, can't we just accelerate things with ads? And my perspective is you can't multiply by zero. Or even one. Mm-hmm. If you don't have something that's already converting, you can't really amplify it with ads. But people always try and find a way to be right. One of the things with you now, and I hinted at this earlier, is as a business owner, you have what I would call a leader brand. It's not just a personal brand. Lots of people have personal brands, but you're an industry leader within the marketing space in Scotland at the moment. And that's to a large extent because of the rolling of the dice with the Adventures in Marketing conference. I'm curious, I'm going to lead into this with, I downloaded your 25 ways to grow your audience without spending any money on ads PDF from your website earlier. And one of the items on that list as I scanned through it is launching your own event, which is something I've hankered after for many years. I've dabbled in it from time to time. But I'm curious to hear from you, being my neighbor just across the country. If you know anything about Scotland, if you're not from here, we are opposite ends of the country, but that's only an hour apart. What impact has the Adventures in Marketing Conference had on your business, your network, and your network's ability to sustain your business?
That is a great question. So it's interesting to hear you say that you've hankered after hosting an event for years. I still think that sometimes, I'm going to call it blind faith, but just a sense of excitement and interest and, the word's gone out of my head, a sense of excitement and wanting to explore is what was absolutely behind us launching. So Abby and I launched the event and work together on the event. We had no expectations when we launched that event. We just felt that there was a gap in the market in Scotland, having been to lots of marketing and business conferences all over the UK and beyond. We felt there was a gap in the market in Scotland for somebody to bring the excellent marketers of the UK to the beautiful country that is Scotland, that often gets forgotten about when it comes to business and many other ways as well. But I did kind of practice. So when I first started this business, I hosted a monthly networking event for 3 years, every month, right up until March 2020, when we were all bumping elbows. That was the final one. And then business got really busy and I decided I wasn't going to do that after the pandemic. So this is the largest event that I have hosted in terms of a marketing event. But we did kind of go into it with that blind faith that I've hinted at, or just that excitement. We had no expectations. We wanted to bring people together. We wanted to offer something a bit different because we found that some of the events that we went to were a bit stuffy. We definitely didn't want to be...
You can say it.
Can I? We definitely didn't want to go down the route of being a kind of bro marketing event. We didn't want anybody selling from the stage or the back of the room. And we wanted to put more women on stage as well. Now, obviously, the event is open to everybody, but often we see women are missed off lineups. So we were keen to add them into the mix as well as ourselves. In terms of how it has impacted my business, that's an interesting one. The first year I did a talk that was a very personal talk. I would say it was a bit of a kind of personal development talk. It wasn't directly linked to my business and I didn't really expect anything of it. I wasn't looking for business off the back of it. I just wanted to get to know my audience better and to be a bit vulnerable. So that worked really well. Lots of people came back the next year and I decided that I was going to do a talk on much more practical advice on how to launch. And again, has it impacted my business? I've been offered more opportunities to get on other people's stages and podcasts and deliver workshops. I often introduced by people who perhaps have only got to know me through the event. Oh, this is Nikki from Adventures in Marketing. My business is not called that, which I find is interesting and it doesn't bother me at all. So it has definitely opened the doors to new people and new audiences. And now we've got people applying to speak at the event next year. So I'm getting to know even more people. So for me, the impact has been around growing my network of brilliant people who I want to learn from, who I want to spend time with, and who I want to put in front of other people who I think are going to benefit from learning from them. So I guess in terms of my personal brand, it's had a bigger impact than it has had on my actual business.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think one of the things that I imagine happens more often than not is that you don't have to persuade people of your capabilities as often as you perhaps used to. That once you're in the door with an opportunity, that opportunity converts in your direction more readily than it perhaps used to.
Yes, but I don't know if that's directly connected to the event or is that just connected to having been in business and worked with more people over the past 7 years?
I wonder if it's a combination because I think people do judge us by the company we keep and the leadership that we demonstrate. And if an industry is going to see somebody as a leader, then the potential company is going to definitely be impacted by that. And certainly I am.
Yeah, that's true. I am as well. So yeah, I think that's a really good point.
People, to a certain extent, are quite superficial and they're influenced by superficial things. And the signals that we send are what compound up to become our brand. And those are the things that do impact people.
Yeah, it's interesting. A client said to me last week, because I have been, I mean, it's March and into the beginning of April have just been quite crazy. I've had about 6 weeks where I've been traveling loads, going to loads of different things, speaking on stages, seeing loads of different people. And of course, we've been reflecting that online to capitalize on that. And it does work. I had a client say to me the other day, gosh, you look so busy. That is really attractive as somebody thinking about working with you.
Yeah. I think there's two perspectives I have here. One is traditionally quality rises to the top. Now, that's not always the case, but you can see it when it happens. But alongside this, and this is what I imagine you're enjoying at the moment, is any community operates. This sounds really mean and nasty the way I say it, but they operate a little bit like a pack of wolves in that they'll go out to support those animals they see as strong and pick on or ignore those animals they see as weak. And the strength is all in perception. It's about the stories that we tell. And if we tell the right stories, stories that matter to people, stories of success and thriving, people do rally around to support, especially when we're approaching it in the right spirit, as you are. It's, you can manipulate people or you can genuinely do these things. And I think you're seeing the rewards of that.
Well, hopefully, because I'm not finished yet. I've actually got a friend who I think is doing exceptionally well just now. And she keeps having people in her industry coming up to her and saying, oh, how can I get what... Basically, how can I enjoy the success that you're enjoying right now? They're saying to her.
Yeah.
And we've had many conversations. She's worked bloody hard for this over many, many years. And that's the stuff that keeps me going. That's what keeps me motivated to work really hard, to keep putting myself out there, to keep investing in myself, to keep saying yes to opportunities and traveling, even though I'm exhausted and would possibly sometimes rather be at home, because it's that compound effect and that momentum that we're building up.
I think that's a really important message to send, is that it is hard work, but the hard work works.
Yes.
So we should probably bring things to a close. But before I let you go, I need to ask one question. And that is, what's one thing you do now that you wish you'd started 5 years ago?
We've already touched on this, and it is one of your four pillars that you mentioned, which is growing my network. And I was doing this 5 years ago. I wasn't doing it to the same degree or the same level. I wasn't placing as much importance and emphasis on it. And I was only doing it in my local area, which is networking. So if I could rewind 5 years, I would put myself in even more rooms at that point. I'm very focused on putting myself in the right rooms now. So if I could rewind 5 years, I would put myself in even more of the right rooms back then than I did.
I think that's a really important question, because my question about the four doors is vaguely leading, because what's interesting is a lot of the really big names that we know online, when I ask them these questions, I saw Pat Flynn the other day posting that he does all the things with marketing, but the game-changing, earth-moving opportunities always come through his network. Mm-hmm. And that if he was down to his last $1,000, and he had to start again, he would fly to the biggest industry event and focus 100% on relationships. So if that's
love that
the importance for Pat Flynn, then for you and I, it's fundamentally important. And on that basis, yeah, it's been awesome to meet you properly today. We've superficially met when you've been really busy, but it's nice to get some time.
It definitely is. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and let's make time to actually have more conversations in the future.
Well, I have an aunt in Leith, and I will hit you up, and when I'm down there, we can have a cup of coffee.
Sounds great. I look forward to that.
So for you at home, thank you for listening. Nikki Hutchison, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And for you at home for listening, thank you. You have been awesome. If you did enjoy the show, then you will also love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap. It's everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. It's 55 pages, completely free as a gift from me. Just visit amplifyme.agency/roadmap. Don't forget, you can also download Nikki's 25 ways to grow your 25 ways to grow your audience without spending any money on ads. Where can they get it, Nikki?
That is at nikkihutchison.com/2525ways.
It's really good. I have it in front of me right now. I'm going to be auditing myself with this. Nikki, thank you very much. You at home for listening, thank you very much. And I will see you all next time.